The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a winepress in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, a second time, he sent other servants, more than the first. And they did the same to them. And finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? And they replied, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." And Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you, given to a people, producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." And when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this, his parable, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord. Lord Jesus, we just ask that you would invade our space today, that you give us your promise to every ear that hears. In Christ's name, amen. I realized when I was preparing for this sermon that we left out the most important verses, which are the last verses in your inserts, which are so key to understanding where Christ is taking his hearers. And we are going to talk about today Jesus Christ being your Drago. Did you see Rocky IV? "I will break you." Well, those are the words Jesus Christ will say to the demons of hell on the behalf of sinners and tax collectors. He's going to break them. And he's not going to do it for those who've been obedient. He's going to do it for the sinners he chooses to come after. So let's talk about you all for a moment. Everyone here is suffering. There is no one here who is not a sufferer in this room. Have you experienced economic suffering this week? CEOs who have mishandled your money, and eventually all options or some options may have been taken right out from under your feet. This is just one facet of suffering. How about physical suffering? Do you or do you know someone who has cancer or a physical ailment? Afflicted with some sort of disease that seems to not be leaving their bodies? Or let's hit something that touches all of us, the suffering under the persecution of perfection. You do not meet up to your parents' standards. Everybody has suffered under this metaphysical category, this idea that my parents wanted me to be something that I could never become. My spouse wants me to be somebody that I will never be. These are just maybe three or four facets of suffering that everyone in this room experiences. And then there's a second category. I would say that first category is what it is. You are the victim of suffering. And to say that you are not is just a real rough way to do the opposite of what some pop psychologists are doing, and to say you just need to pull up your bootstraps and not be a victim anymore. But the truth of the matter is, your life is not in your control, and that you are public enemy number one of many folks, and not only folks, but the powers of darkness. And then, finally, you are the victims of your own bad decisions. Now, think about this. Look back on your life where you thought some wise investments or some wise decisions that would be made would benefit your whole life. And I think one great example of this breaking down is this financial crisis we're in. The investments we've made are now not turning over a penny to us. You see, we can't make good decisions. Think about how you may have invested in your relationships with your daughter or your son. Perhaps you kept putting it off like the cat in the cradle and the silver spoon song talks about. And then eventually you find out that there is no room for relationship. And then maybe perhaps decisions you make about things in the now, basically the idea is you think they're going to pay off their dividends later, and they will not. We are the victims of our own bad decisions incurred by our own broken minds. We have let ourselves down. We have let others down. We have not loved our neighbors fully as ourselves. And we've put others in danger in the midst of us thinking that we were helping them. Well, if you're the type of person that can't live with yourself, if you're the type of person who is realizing everything you touch shatters or turns to plaque, Jesus Christ has a promise for you, because the tax collectors and the harlots could not live with themselves. You see, Jesus is taking this parable and he's speaking directly to the Pharisees. He's speaking directly to those who are in charge of the sheep, the shepherds that God had put over the sheep, intending for them to care, to love, and to always keep them focused on Jesus, or on God through Jesus Christ, the Messiah. But then, as we hear through this parable, the tenants didn't do what God wanted them to do. They threw out and beat the prophets one by one as they came. And so Jesus Christ is sent to them. And the sinner and each Pharisee and the sinner in us crucifies Jesus Christ. This is what it means in Acts when Peter confesses aloud, "Let it be known to all of you and to all people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is in salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." In the world's eyes and in the old self's eyes, Jesus is not a promising option. But when we come to grips that everything we touch turns to black and breaks, and we've made awful decisions that have impacted other people and have hurt our families, and that we are suffering just by living with ourselves, Jesus comes to you and he gives you a promise. He says, I am your cornerstone. The cornerstone was an image, or the cornerstone, excuse me, is basically the main foundation of the temple. So when Jesus is using this image, he is making a literal statement about himself and to relation to you. He is a cornerstone for the tax collectors, the ones who find themselves in occupations and habits that don't glorify God. He's the cornerstone for those who cannot in their own strength come to true obedience to Jesus Christ or to God. He says, for those who are missing the mark, making bad decisions, I am your cornerstone. For those who are the victim of abuse, for those who are plagued by fear, paranoia, depression, physical ailments, he says, I am your cornerstone. He says, you are my beloved. Daughter, where are your accusers now? Jesus whispers the sweet promises of the cornerstone unto the ears of sinners, saying, you belong to me now, and no one will take you out of my hands. Your future of eternal life, which does not belong in this crooked kingdom which we called earth, but belongs to the kingdom of grace, he promises you in the midst of your suffering, today you will be with me in paradise. You see, in this parable, the ones who can produce the fruits, the ones who can produce the fruits of what God is seeking, are the ones who will only say, I know God by trusting in him. God knows me by my trust in him, not by my works, not by my doing, not by what we find out in Luke 18 with the tax collector and the Pharisee, not by the one who's constantly fasting, tithing, and praying, but the one who is not looking to his own means, not to his own strength, but says, I am a broken sinner tax collector. The one who actually sees himself for what he is and simply says, I depend on Jesus Christ, my cornerstone. And then to seal this promise, Jesus Christ tells you how this cornerstone is going to operate against the powers of darkness and against your bad decisions. He doesn't say it's a stone that can be broken. He says it's a stone that will perpetually be unbroken. And when the powers of darkness come against you, they will also come against Jesus Christ's death on the cross for you, and they are broken. They are broken by the promise of Christ to each and every one of us sitting here today. Nothing can break this foundation. It's the surest foundation you can count on. So, saved sinners, Christ's sinners, I invite you to keep your eyes focused on the foundation, upon the shepherd who again promises you, I chose you, you did not choose me, but yet in the midst of your sinning, I came and died for you. This is the foundation we put our trust in. This is the foundation that defeats all the powers of hell and the evil one. And this is the foundation which says your sins are perpetually forgiven and you will be raised on the last day because of the justification I give you. Let us all always keep our eyes glued on Jesus Christ, our cornerstone. Amen.